Damn.
Yeah. Jordan said, let me know when you're ready.
Yep.
And we said,
that's correct.
What? I said, we were born ready, baby.
And I guess I was born ready. I don't know.
I bet you were great. Did you play any sort of sports?
A little bit. But like, I don't really bring that sort of energy to the sports that I have.
I guess not.
Like I did, like when I was doing like jujitsu and shit, it was like, they were very gung ho about it. Everyone's like, sir, let's go. And it's just like, oh, all right, let's do this.
So you have a similar answer that I do. When someone says, did you play sports? You go, no. And then you go, well, jujitsu. That's like me. I go, no. Well, I rode horses.
Yeah.
You might as well have just said, like, most likely in the future to start a podcast.
Yeah. The thing is, we know that we played wrong sports. Actually, I played a little soccer, too. I liked playing soccer.
Also, like, I didn't play a sport. You don't play horses. They run around and have a nice time, and you are allowed to sit on them.
Well, you're still, it's like work, right? It's hard.
For who?
I mean, not the horse.
Yeah, no, it's a little hard for them. It's not hard for me. You ever rode a horse?
Yeah, when I was a kid. I can't really remember it. No, I don't think I've ever been on a horse that didn't have someone at least two times my age holding the reins.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Two times your age. So a 26 to your 13.
Something like that, yeah.
I had to do that.
Maybe more like an 18 to my 9.
Oh, okay. So we're talking pony rides type situation.
I don't know the difference.
This is the show, yo. Holy, is this racist? Fuck. I like to see how long I can distract Andrew from the fact that we're doing a show.
I was answering so earnestly.
I know. It was good. You thought we were just hanging out.
You know what? It's true. It's been too long.
This is the show where we take your voicemail questions about racism and we answer them with the help of a special guest or guests.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
But first we talk about sports?
Yeah, sports. What's a good sport? America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
Oh, basketball's a better segue. Toddy had a good segue and
no,
I fucked it up.
How was that a segue?
Well, Gabrielle Union was fired by America's
Does she play
Got
basketball?
Talent. Her husband does.
Oh, see, I wouldn't know that. I thought he was a football player. Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Basketball himself.
Guys, I don't know the sports. That's not a joke. Gabrielle Union was fired from America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
For allegedly voicing concerns about diversity, it's to put it broadly. Like,
yeah. Do we need to allegedly that part?
I don't know.
Is that a shameful thing?
I don't know what we need to allegedly
I don't think
anymore.
We need to allegedly because unless she's saying she didn't do it, it's not like it's a bad thing.
Oh, no, I'm just saying that's maybe not why they're saying they fired her. Look, it doesn't matter. No
allegedly.
No one's suing us.
Yet.
Oh, God, you're right. But yeah, you had a good point about this, about how...
Well, it's just that as people in show business, we get thought, like, shit happens with us all the time. And we're like, why didn't you call it out? People, you know, the people.
Yeah.
Sometimes you people listening right now.
Yeah.
And reasonably so. But Gabrielle Union was voicing kind of like baseline normal concerns. Like someone I read somewhere there was like someone was making like Korean jokes. Mm-hmm. And
super fresh current material. Yeah. BT dubs.
Yeah. The Korean War?
Koreans eat dog, I believe, was the flavor of the joke. Oh, just God. Like super fresh material.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like speaking up. It's hard to speak up for that stuff. You know, like I'm lucky right now to be writing on a show that's very welcomed in the writer's room. Like we're like a very diverse room, mixed-ish.
ABC?
ABC Tuesdays, 9 p.m.?
We think.
9 p.m.
You know, the slogan to Mixed
8
Dish.
Central.
Turn on the TV at that time. You'll see something.
Yeah, it's on TV. As long as your TV's tuned to ABC. or watch it on Hulu, I guess.
Tune your TV.
They have never once told us what we're supposed to say to promote the show.
I don't believe that. I believe that they have.
I
am sure that they have.
Believe that I do not remember what they said.
If I asked you to search your inbox for an email right now, you would have that information.
Oh, shit. I just snapped my phone in half.
Oh, you did. That's you hulked crazy. Out. But yes, you work on a nice show where they want you to raise these concerns.
And that was, but even then, it was hard. I remember the first couple of weeks, there was a couple stories where we're just talking things through, and it was just like legit. I remember ultimately, just because I didn't know everyone, I didn't know the bosses and everything, I just wasn't sure if we were supposed to speak up. And not even in a, like, you're doing this thing, but it's just like, I don't think we should put this on TV kind of idea.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not always the blatantly crazy stuff. It's just like the little microaggressions or like perpetuating a stereotype that just isn't super useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, on like a big show, you don't know.
Or it's not, and truly not even like stuff like that, but it was just like, it was scary to speak up about, like, points of view and things like that. It was just, it's interesting. And this is on a show, again, where my bosses, who are great, like, really, really encourage us to, like, talk. And, like, there's still, like, you know, the idea that writers' rooms are places to bat stuff around. Mm-hmm. But that's, like, a rarity in Hollywood. And I think just, like, this is, to me, such an interesting counterexample. It's, like, you can be a goddamn A-list star on a show and, like, be fired for something like this.
I read that her social traffic, because a lot of times there are clauses in contracts, especially for big celebrities, to post, even for like small time pieces of shit like us. Mm-hmm. You do a little job or something, there's a clause in your contract that says like, you'll post about it this many times on your personal thing. It's super weird, but it's like, for a huge celebrity like that who has a huge social following, she has tons of fans. She was driving like more than all of the other hosts combined social traffic. So you'd think that that means she's incredibly valuable. The fact that she was still fired, it's super scary.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that maybe that's it. It's like it's like scary, but it's also just like Hollywood is not even close to, you know, this fucking liberal bubble or whatever. Or egalitarian. Anyway, it does seem like the publicity of it is like getting people talking. I saw, we were just skimming various headlines because we didn't actually have a specific story to reference, but like, you know, the unions are getting involved. Like SAG is like, you can't fire someone for this, which probably is true. Yeah. So shit like that is great. Like, you know. So I don't know. Hopefully some lessons are learned, but it's also like, just like, when it push comes to shove, like, it's these, you know, old white dudes who hold all the levers of power and they get to make their decisions. Is that it?
I think that's it. And then her husband, Dwayne Wade, basketball star, my favorite, he was just being very supportive right on Twitter. Is that the whole story about him?
Yeah, there wasn't much. I just get basketball.
Yeah. You thought I was smarter than I was, which is what happened.
It made sense. It made sense after the fact. Did we have another thing? What else? What's another interesting thing?
What other interesting bad things happened? There's no name for this woman, which maybe some people are happy about because some people don't like that people are called out and named on social media when they do something racist. Maybe some of you are mad and want her name so that you could get her fired from whatever non-existent fucking multi-level marketing scheme she probably works for. But this woman, we don't know her name, was basically stalked a UPS worker, a black man, delivering packages in her neighborhood and wanted to call the cops on him, said she felt threatened. She's just on video basically interrogating him, wondering why he's in the neighborhood. The man is in a UPS. I almost said costume. Jesus Christ. It's a life costume called a uniform.
I mean, it is just like,
he has a trolley of packages.
Yeah. And it's like acting suspicious, carrying packages. It's like,
yeah.
I mean,
and then his white coworker comes out and she's like, oh, okay. Well, he wouldn't answer me. He wouldn't tell me what he's doing. He made me nervous. And the white guy's like, he works for me or whatever. And she's like, okay. And then she's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we have to say? Nothing.
I
mean,
I think, it's like at a certain point, like the nerves or the concerns of racists can't be the thing that matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know what? I 100% agree. I would accept that man made her nervous, it's crazy that we accept that that's okay. Like, who cares if you're nervous? Fuck you. You're racist.
Yeah. If you feel nervous because you saw a person, your first job is to examine why. Yeah. Not only because that will probably help you get rid of some cobwebs of racism in your brain and tell you, oh, that person isn't a threat. I've just been bred by society to think they are. But also it will help you assess the situation and see if there actually is something to be nervous about.
Yeah.
Like, stop and think why and run through a checklist. Is this person running at you with a knife? Cool. Now I've thought about that and I get to get away from them now. But if it's just they are black and delivering packages.
It's like crazy. Yeah.
In their package delivering costume.
I mean, I think it's also so funny. I mean, this is like a tiny, tiny, tiny version of this. But like, I used to, when I was in college and right after college, I did a lot of like night photography. I would like walk around in the suburbs, big old camera, very derivative work. Not my best stuff, but.
We all had an art phase, Andrew. Don't worry.
But I had this humongous camera. It was like a 4x5 film camera. It would most look like something that you would take a picture of President Eisenhower with a light bulb, with a flashbulb that explodes.
With a blanket over the back of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's that. It was literally one of those cameras. And I remember I was like, you know, taking a picture of a street or something. And because it was nighttime, it was long exposure. So I was outside. And like some dude came up to me and was like, you know, and reasonably-ish, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was just like told him what I was doing. I think maybe I would carry some photos with me just to show people what I was, you know, why I was there. But it was one of those things where I was like, motherfucker, do you think I'm that dumb that if I were casing your house or whatever, I would use a camera from the goddamn 1930s? Like, it
just
was
trying to be low key.
Yeah, it was like insulting to the idea of thieves.
You felt hurt for the thieves.
Yeah, I was like, my man, thieves are better than this.
Yeah, man. Think more highly of thieves. Don't insult thieves' intelligence.
It just was like, I was, and I sort of get it. And, you know, I know people don't put stuff together, but also that guy was a paranoid racist or whatever, like an idiot though.
Yeah. I mean, props to you for looking threatening though. That must have made you feel like.
Oh, so good.
Super jacked.
Yeah. So dope. No, I'm just like, you know, those were scary moments when people would come up to me on the street and, you know, I get it. And no one likes people hanging out on their streets at night, but.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But
I
could think of a few people that everyone would be okay with.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like part of it. I was just like, yeah, and again, only a tiny, tiny, tiny microcosm of that. But it's like, lady, what the fuck do you you think this guy is like stealing things by putting on a fucking UPS uniform, getting a UPS truck, getting a white man to also put on a UPS uniform, and then walking up and down the street in the middle of the day,
getting a bunch
leaving packages on people's. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
What a fucking wild ass. Also, like, isn't that Santa Claus? Like, isn't that a motherfucker in a suit leaving a bunch of packages with a bunch of little henchmen around with him?
Santa Claus is a criminal.
If Santa Claus, that's why Megyn Kelly didn't think Santa Claus was black. Because if he was black, people, motherfuckers, would be coming out their front door and be like, what are you doing here? Can you tell me exactly who you're working for and why are you in my chimney?
This is, Megyn Kelly's actually the woke one.
Yeah.
She was trying to prevent Santa Claus from getting interrogated.
Exactly.
Because she knew her racist ass viewers would flip
tear
out.
Him apart.
Yep.
He wouldn't get all that done in one night.
Good for Megyn Kelly.
He'd be locked up for 10 to 15. What are we doing? Just trying out material.
boy.
Wow.
We are on fire today.
No, we're bad.
On that note, though, there was a dude who I fucking hate, internet racist and creator of Dilbert, Scott Adams.
What a sentence. You got producer Alex with that one.
Yeah. I mean, he's a racist in all venues.
I didn't know this.
Did you not? Yeah.
No, I'm not up on my like comic strip.
He's like a big Trump supporter, blah, blah, blah. But he is just as ignorant and racist as they come, as far as that goes.
Okay.
But he had an interview and he was like, I think there should be rules for, how did he phrase it? Civil, like there should be a more civil internet. And he was talking to tired ass publication Wired Magazine about it. And, you know, it's just this pathetic thing. And I guess I know we don't talk politics besides the fact that everything is political. But you know, I think we're reaching the tipping point where the racists who've been having a field day for the last like 3 years ish, mm-hmm. you know, like the actual celebratory field day, are going to start begging for forgiveness and like, oh, why can't you be nice to me? Why can't you be civil? You're being so rude. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, combined with this like fucking race, you know, all the internet shaming stuff, I've taken the hard position, you know, that all this hand wringing about internet shaming is white supremacy. So that's the tie-in.
Yeah, that's a good tie-in.
Yeah, because it's like all these people who are like, why can't you be nice? Why can't you be civil? And it's like, all I did was express my preference for that white people were better.
Yeah.
And like, you know, denigrating the humanity of people of color and women and, you know, LGBTQ plus people.
Yeah.
That's all I did. What is wrong?
Yeah, why? Because you were very nice when you said that like we shouldn't exist or have jobs like
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's like the classic like schoolyard bully like pushes you down, but when you push them back, they run to the teacher kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So like fuck like honestly, the idea of like civility or internet shaming, especially, it's just like if you don't like internet shaming, deal with what would keep internet shaming from existence is fucking fixing racism.
Yeah.
Asterisk and all the other types of bigger.
Yeah. Asterisk. But there's a lot of things to fix. Yeah. Fix it all.
But like, that's why people are fucking frustrated, and that's why they pile onto people. It's because injustice is everywhere. And like, when they feel like they can do something about it, they do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, so yeah, I think like, internet shaming on the balance is probably better than not. Truly. I mean, it's fucked up, and like, no one likes it. And it extracts a psychological toll, but it's good.
You heard it here.
More shaming, please.
Me and Andrew are zero malarkey.
Oh boy.
Found here.
Look at you.
I just really want to say the words malarkey and barnstorm.
Oh God.
I don't even have a take. They're the most insane words anyone has ever put on the side of a bus. And I have been to Kansas. It's the most insane wordings on a bus. In like, what was that, Comic Sans?
I would just love to, I mean, whatever, I don't care.
Mixed Dish.
I hate politics.
Mixed Dish airs Tuesdays at 9. Producer Alex just texted to the thread.
Thank you, Producer Alex.
Tuesdays at 9, you will see Mixed Dish on ABC.
I don't know.
If you have cable. Or no? Or rabbit ears?
I think rabbit ears.
Does anyone have rabbit ears?
I have rabbit ears.
You do?
I have digital rabbit ears.
Is this what you guys tune in for?
How does Andrew's TV work?
Well, what's a segue? Alex, do you have a segue for?
I don't.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Great.
This week we got to sit down with Kimberly Hill.
Very funny actress, comedian, vocalist, as you'll know if you've been watching her on NBC's Perfect Harmony. Just an all-around fun, chill lady.
What a great conversation. It was so fun.
Yeah.
I don't
she's
know.
Good people.
Do you got anything else? Let's just do it.
Let's go.
I feel like Paul just likes to wear bow ties and be Mark Twain.
He does wear bow ties. He is Mark Twain.
He is Mark Twain. You heard it here first. Yeah. Well, that's a good place as any to roll into this week's episode. Yes.
We're here
with our guest, Kimberly Hill, actress.
What's up?
How do you like to be introduced? Actress, comedian?
Those are all fine.
Yes. A dancer now, singer?
That I literally cannot take, as I have seen actual dancers. And do not want to get beat up by them in the hallways.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Don't mess with dancers. Don't pull that
and
card.
And I have no skills.
They will hurt you. But you do have the skills to do it for like 10 hours a day on your show, Perfect Harmony.
On my show, Perfect Harmony. Yes.
There's a lot of dancing and singing. How's it been?
A lot of dancing. It's been fantastic. I mean, first of all, I can't dance, as I mentioned, at all. I have rhythm. But I have no dance skills and have no physical memory.
Oh.
But we have this incredible woman named Ebony Nichols who comes in and she's a beast. She's just a monster. She
She makes me feel cool.
Yeah, and she makes me feel like I can dance. And she's, you know, dance teacher like fame. Like, I'm not going to let you fail.
Right.
Here we go, girl. You know what I mean? Yeah. Arm up to the left. Come in early. We're going to get this. I'm going to make you a video. Like,
I feel like I love when people like don't get caught up in like being ironic or being clever and just look you dead in the eye and just be like, we're going to succeed.
Yes.
And yeah. Just, together.
I think we just know too, like comedy people can't have to undercut everything. Yes. And it's just so nice to just be around someone that says something and means it and believes
it. I have supreme confidence. I'm not apologetic.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to get very far as like an ironic choreographer.
Oh my God. Okay. But just try this.
As a shrugging, like, well, I guess.
Like, whatever.
It didn't work. But like, we're all trapped. So who cares? I don't want to do a jazz square with that person.
No, you don't.
No. So the show also has a lot of singing. You guys have some very encouraging vocal coaches too.
We do have
encouragement. Y'all sound good.
We have, and we need that encouragement to sound good because only like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I speak for myself. But like, yeah, I've never recorded in a studio before that. Never anything like it. It was really, really overwhelming. It was kind of daunting. And I'm like, I'm a pretend soprano, and so is my character. Please stop giving me this high-ass music thing. Like, and then somehow it comes out. You know what I mean? So if anything, yes, it's been good for, you know, just me feeling better as like a performer all around, knowing that I could do those things, but I didn't know if I was going to be able to do what they were asking us to do.
Yeah. I mean, the songs sound amazing. You also have some real ringers in there, like Shanice Williams.
Oh my gosh.
Desi Dennis Dillon. I'm just using this as a time to praise voices that I like.
And they deserve it.
They deserve every bit of it.
And they deserve it.
What else has been going on? How's life? How's the world of racism treating you?
Oh my gosh. You know, the world of racism.
Smooth pivot, Tony.
Thanks, man.
It was a beautiful pivot. And I appreciate you just, you know, going all in like that because I'm not a person that catches things.
You gotta just be blunt.
Yes, you gotta go straight. Especially now I'm all tired. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
we have you here at an insane time. I'm so
sorry.
Thank
you so much for coming.
No. I'm not saying I'm tired for, I mean, this is fun. My job is not fun. Thank you, NBC season 2, Perfect Harmony.
But it is messed up that, like, I feel like I we get the same thing where it's like, I look forward to seeing Tawny every week, and it's like, yo, we have the most fucked up conversations on this show.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's so racist and so hard. But you know what? Let's hang out.
It's true. It's true. But I mean, this is like coming at a perfect time because I had a situation recently dealing with a person who was like a very kind to me, but racist for sure. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And
that's how it kind of goes, I
feel like. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially in a place like Los Angeles where it's like not none, but less like kind of the in your face kind of stuff. And a lot of the,
I'm
just going to be racist at this tone of voice.
Also learning about them being defensive.
Mm-hmm.
I had not encountered that before.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Everyone who's has ever been racist around me is like, yeah, I said it.
Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up?
In Virginia Beach. And it's a very segregated.
Yeah.
Even to rich kids and poor kids and black kids. Filipino kids, that's the main one, is white kids, Filipino kids, and black kids.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, so people are more overt there, would you say? And then...
Yes. I mean, yes.
Do you prefer one way or the other?
I prefer overt racism. Yes. Because I'm not trying to fix anybody. Yeah. I don't care. So let me know you don't like black people. I will not come to your house.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, you're like, just draw me a map of where not to go.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
We've lived our whole lives without each other.
Yeah.
I don't need anything
from you. We can continue that tradition, that great tradition of not fucking talking
in
to
the
each
night.
Other.
I'm just going to start saying that to people who are rude to me. A parking attendant was rude to me today. I'm just going to be like, we've lived our whole lives without each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go now.
I'll continue
this. There's no point in starting this now.
Oh, man. My almost racism today was for reasons that are too dumb to get into, the snacks on set were, they had a bunch of like dim sum and stuff. And I almost went and like grabbed stuff for the writer's room. And I was like, I can't be walking around carrying a bunch of dumplings. That's a bad look for Andrew.
Who are you telling? Every time at work, catering comes out with fried chicken or fresh water. You think I don't want that chicken? You think I don't want that delicious, cold, fresh watermelon?
You just can't do it, though.
But I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to go anywhere.
Not on like an NBC set.
It's just a little too scrubbed clean for...
Maybe if this was some grimy, weird underground movie.
Did I sneakily take all of those things and put them in my trailer and then go eat it?
Of course. Oh, you got to
sneak. Can't do it in front of people.
Oh, yeah. No, covered container, napkin over the bowl.
So we're all off to a good start.
They made collard greens on my set the other day, and I straight up looked down my nose at those collard greens. I was like, what? I could tell by the looks of these y'all didn't do it right. I still ate them, though.
Oh, that's sweet. You're a good person.
I mean, I never pass up a college.
Even if it's bad. Thank you. That's nice.
Should we listen to a voicemail?
Let's do this shit.
Okay. Hey, Andrew, Tawny, guest, Zig2. I'm a brown person. I'm a brown man. And I have to drive around to a lot of different places for work. And I arrived at one of the places I go. I'm sitting in my car for about 2 minutes, and a security guard approaches me, knocks on my window and basically asks me what I'm doing there. I explained to him, you know, the situation, but part of me wanted to tell him to fuck off. Like, what are you supposed to do in that situation? To be like, I don't know, I want to be a good person of color in this situation, but that shit pisses me off. I don't have to justify that shit. So I don't know, guys. Anyway, love the show.
How mad are you allowed to get, I think, is the or not allowed, but
how mad is it wise
advisable
to get? I think it's directly proportional to the realness of the cop. Like, is this, he says security guard, I'm like, does this man have a weapon? Does this man have a taser? Is his badge printed out from his home print laser jet printer? How real
sometimes
is
those people could go buck wild also.
You're right, but I do feel like if you, he didn't say what he does for a living.
I don't know, maybe you could appeal to someone.
I don't know. Timberly, you ever get mad at people who think you're not supposed to be somewhere?
I used to, but now nothing is my problem. Everything is their problem. A lot of therapy. I don't get mad about. If I get mad, that only costs me. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm mad for the day, and I'm mad about this, and I'm mad about that, and I don't understand why. And then everything is shitty. And then this person has has beat me like in 10 ways.
Right. They have the power a little bit because they really made you mad.
You can call it cliche or whatever you want, but if you're walking around huffing and puffing and being crappy in the middle of a day that was going lovely and could have been lovely, and you have let some random crazy person, which is how I like to think of the people now, you know what I mean, like, all right, random crazy lady, get it out, like, do what you gotta do. I will be over here, I will fill up my power cast, I will get into it, I'll go, my life is lovely.
We spent our whole lives not knowing each other.
I don't know you. We don't have to engage. Nothing has to happen here.
I like that. I feel like I could learn from you. I feel like I would be happier.
You can learn from April, my therapist. I give you her card.
Okay, great.
Teach me how to just to let go, to decide. You could get angry, but why would you?
It's nice. We so rarely have a guest come on to plug their therapist. So this is really This is very good.
Can I ask you a personal question that we can cut out if you want?
Absolutely.
Is your therapist a black woman?
No.
I can't find one.
She's a white woman. But you know what? Now I feel kind of bad. April might not be white.
April, get at us. What are you?
She might not be white. She's not black that I can tell, but yeah, and I have got to learn that lesson because I'm straight up looking at people sometimes. Like at work the other day, and I said something to Anthony and he was like, I'm Mexican. And I was like, Very fair, Anthony, that you are Mexican.
That's also a good attitude, though, of just like, but that speaks to the defensiveness thing we were talking about earlier. It's just like, for the racist side, if you can just be like, it's such a small leap to just be like, if someone corrects you, just be like, that's fair.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kind of cuts both ways. It's like racists would be so much less unhappy.
Yeah.
We're here to help racists.
Yes. April is here to help the racists. Is that what she wants?
Yes, that's what it, you know what? April might be in cahoots some really bad people. Uh-oh. I never thought about why she wanted me to let it go. Okay.
I mean, I think, yeah.
Okay, miss.
It is like nice to like, to the extent that you can let go of that. Cause it is true. It's like I think one lesson I had from running like, Yo, Is This Racist? I mean, both like this show also, cause Tawny doesn't see the worst of the inbox.
No, thank you for that.
But there's also like the website inbox, which has been long neglected. Mm-hmm. Apologies for that. Not really. I hate writing my shit. But someone, you know, a long time ago when it started, just pointed out, it's like, if you can delete the thing, delete mm-hmm. the comment, mm-hmm. you know, ignore it, that just makes it, that puts it back on them. Then yeah. they're just an asshole screaming into the void.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Why am I carrying this shit for you?
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with me.
I think that is really nice. Like, yeah. if you can let it go. I will say Caller seems to have hit the worst of both worlds. Because I think if...
Also sounded like he was going through it.
Yeah,
anyway.
He was very upset.
It seemed like a lot.
Yeah. There's a part of me that's like, it's probably not that wise, but, and look, maybe one of the things we've done is compartmentalize like our racism yelling into, mm-hmm. you know, an hour and a half on the podcast yeah. plus like time on the text thread. Mm-hmm. And I spent too much time on Twitter, but that's a different problem. But... It does, I think, truly have this like mildly therapeutic effect for me where I'm like, I don't have to worry about this the rest of the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, or I'm not on the clock. I mean, we've both started telling people when they come up to us just like, eh.
And I'm like, yeah.
Not on the clock. Call in.
Yes. It's not my job to solve. When my non-black or brown friends, mm-hmm. You know, when I have one of these talks, I'm like, I'm going to start saying that I'm not on the clock.
Yeah.
I'm not your black friend right now. Also, yeah.
Find me during office hours. Yeah. It's about a half hour once a week.
Yeah. Also, I can't help you.
Yeah. I can't help you. Talk to other white people.
Yeah. I'm not.
Get them to do this work.
Or read a damn book.
Yeah.
There are also books.
There's don't say it and don't ask why.
Or tell them to call us. Just be like, there's a podcast you can call.
You know what? I can't help you. I know some people who might be able to. You know what?
Uh-huh.
I can help you.
I like that. I like a friend referral. Is trying to vent to you and you just refer them to a podcast. Yes,
I might as well. I mean, I refer people to like if someone is like ridiculous around me, I'm like, have you ever seen the movie Good Hair by Chris Rock? You should watch that.
That actually has been a nice byproduct of the like documentary boom.
Yes.
Is now you literally can be like, just go to Netflix.
Yes.
Watch the 13th. You know what I mean? Like there's just so much shit out there that it's like, even if someone is boring and unwilling to read.
Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. stuff for them now.
Absolutely. Take it in however you take it in, but by all means, take it in.
Yeah.
Please.
Just not from me. Don't have me have to give it out for you to take it in.
Also, I repeat, I cannot help.
I cannot help. I'm not in charge.
I think that is the other thing, too. It's like, when you like you can kind of tell. I mean, I think a thing you can maybe, this starts to get into like helping the ignorant people in your life a little bit. Unnecessarily, but it is like the fact that you only have an entertainer as one of your primary sources of black culture is not good. You need more black friends.
Yes.
That's on you.
The other day at work, I did that. I was joking around with one of my friends and I said, one of my friends at work and I said, blah, 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 I bet you're one of those guys with like, honestly, like one black friend.
Yeah.
And then the person started laughing and then was like,
yes.
Too real.
Too real.
Like, I know a lot of black people, but I do.
But also,
only have one black
friend. Isn't it wild when you find out you're that black friend and you're like,
oh my God.
Bro, we're not friends. We just work together.
Yes.
We're not friends.
Don't try to recruit me.
This is the first season of this job. So, what did I have before?
Yes.
We're barely coworkers. Yeah.
Well, because the first thing that happened, of course, as I said, do you have black friends? And they go, you and
I'm no.
like, yeah,
except
you don't, doesn't except, count.
Yeah, no,
you can't point to the one asking.
Yeah except no.
I think we've got to revise this a little bit. So we talked about a couple times in the past. There's like token black friend or token minority friend inflation. One is not good enough. I think the minimum is four.
Yeah.
You got to have at least four to be bottom of the barrel decent person.
Yes, it's true. I agree.
It's got to be about four, 10%. And whichever is a bigger
number.
No,
immediately. If I ask you, you should be like three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like, Tasha, Darius, Luan.
Yes.
Just spit them out. Mm-hmm.
Just have them ready.
Exactly.
Not too ready.
That's
also racist.
Weird.
That's weird,
man. A bracelet made.
A normal, comfortable readiness that says that you're in the struggle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. At least pretend to think.
Give it a beat.
Four, actually.
And then go, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do one more voicemail. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Lindsay. I am a white woman trying not to be racist who grew up in a house of very racist people. I talked to my sister when I lived in North Carolina and now currently live in Texas. And she stated that for some reason, Asian people are white. And I tried to educate her, but I just got so mad I hung up. Is there any way to properly educate someone who is so damn ignorant? Love your show. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, caller.
I fucking love this. Wow. I love that it's like, so I'm trying to talk to my cousin. She keeps telling me that shoes are food. How do I? It's like, I don't know. I don't know where to tell you to start.
You don't have to. Here's what I will say is on behalf of Asian people, some of us have made it hard for you to maintain this argument because a lot of us really do want to be white and we act like it.
A lot of all of our people think we want to be white sometimes.
That's true.
You know?
But all right. I talk too much shit about the worst Asian people. So we'll leave it at that.
In America, we've been sold that whiteness is the only way to get ahead.
Oh,
so
God, yes.
A lot of us have been very guilty of just trying to be white to get, you know, ahead and get right.
Well, that's my only, like.
I can't believe you landed that in a rhyme.
Shut up.
That's the only thing that makes that kind of thinking make any sense to me is because that I used to have messed up thinking like that, like being like, man, I wish my hair was straight and long.
Sure.
Man, I remember once a beautiful girl being next to me. She had really rich complexion and being like, gosh, if she was like lighter, oh my God, she'd be so. I had the same the same brainwash.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get how people grow up ignorant, literally dumb and with weird ideas about what's lovely and what's beautiful and what to want and to like want it. And I mean, well, then of course, finding out that you're being crazy is a real a real shaken moment. And then like the hard dive into the opposite direction where you're so happy to be whatever you are. thank you.
But I do find it funny every time when people like, people of color specifically, like who maybe grew up around too many white people, swing briefly into their militant phase.
Yes.
And you're just like, yes, this is hilarious and the best.
Yes.
And then everyone usually evens out to somewhere with
self-esteem. I grew up in Virginia Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly what happened to me.
Yeah. I mean, I did that too. I moved to Chicago and I was like, oh shit, we're just out here with regular jobs and shit?
Yeah.
We're just out here wearing our hair and shit?
Uh-huh.
Oh, hell yeah. Let me order 3 dashikis on Amazon.
Girl. Oh my God.
I'm going to go down and find that. I went down and found the Tina Turner Buddhist in the south side of Chicago. I found the Soka Gakkai. I was like, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
Did you wear your African medallion?
I did. I had an ankh.
Yes. Come on now.
This was all of like 3 months of, and then
me
I was like
too.
In my little like theater school in Chicago. And people were like, you know, you can just be like more regular.
Yes.
I was like, right.
I felt like I had to prove it at mine. Mm-hmm. Like the black kids at my school. Because I was in band and chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, seriously, I didn't do anything. The part of the monolith of black kids at my school participated in, they called me everything but my name.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really crazy for doing well,
mm-hmm.
for being in the academic clubs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they tore my ass up for a really long time.
For effort.
Yes. And that was my, like, hard swing for at first was being like, and then, you know, of course, being like, oh, I actually, because I'm black, by virtue of that fact, whatever I do is doing it black. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
However I talk is talking black. However I act is acting black.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a black person doing it.
Yes. Not according to this woman's sister. You might be a white person. Yeah. Have you thought about that?
Man. Well, also, too, that's her, kind of her problem, too. Like, what a weird thing to be concerned over. Like, if somebody said that around me, I'd be like, okay. And I would just laugh. Yeah. You know what I mean? Be like, all right, girl. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It wouldn't be like, oh, my God, I am going to call a podcast and talk this out because
yeah.
I know it's like Timberly, you're very good at like being like, this is not my problem, I am unbothered. Uh-huh. It does seem like this caller is trying to like fix her racist face.
So that's it. We send white people a lot of mixed messages on the show
because
we often are like, don't bother us, and then we're like, but ask questions, and yes. we're like, you can't fix people, but then we're often like, white people, you need to
it's
take,
your job
you
to
need
fix
to
your
take
family.
Care of your people. Yes. So they're in a bind. We get that.
Again, we're not experts.
We don't know what the hell we're talking.
Look,
about.
Look, this is free. This is a free show.
That's right.
You people have called in these wild questions,
that's
so
right.
Most of the content is yours.
Yeah.
If you treat us like we know, we'll act like we know.
Here's what I will say. The fine line is though, is like, I think at a certain point it's reasonable. You can't fix your family, but you also. Like I think the unwritten or unsaid part of the flip side of that is that we don't talk about enough is you don't have to enable them. Because I think yes. what happens is like these people are like, oh, my dad's really racist, but I still got to go home for Thanksgiving yeah. or like blah, blah, blah. And there's a point where the ugly side of it a little bit is like, I think it's okay to distance yourself from these
Absolutely.
People a little bit. Because they're just kind of, if they're bad people who yeah. want to fight you on the humanity of yeah. other human beings. I think it's, yeah. you know,
people
you don't have to love everyone.
For yeah. less yeah. political talks at the moment. Yeah. You don't like my girlfriend. You were yeah. never nice to my wife. People won't talk to their family members like 5 years.
Yeah, yeah that's true.
Over some falling out. But this.
Yeah. I think that maybe is part of it. Is like the general white, many white folks, even well-meaning ones in, you know, in America in 2019, 2020, whatever, you know that you are too kind to someone racist
mm-hmm.
just by virtue of being who you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because of things like family or whatever, or being polite, you definitely are too nice to racists.
Yeah.
And maybe you could chill out on that. You don't have to be, you don't have to fight with them if it makes you crazy, but I don't know. Throwing it out there.
A quick, sharp, blunt comment that tells them you're not going to tolerate any more talk
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely.
It can do wonders.
Yeah.
It really can. In my family, some people had difficulty with homosexuality. And I, of course, have a ton of very close gay friends. And I was like, feel how you want to feel. Think how you want to think. I have a lot of people very, very dear to me. I'm not interested in participating in any kind. I think it's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes you dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. And then if they had that wanted to talk about it, I'd be like, again, can we not?
Yeah.
And they would. And then if nothing else, everybody just won't stop.
Yeah.
Like, everybody will stop doing it around you.
At least they know not to do it in front of mm-hmm. you. And maybe they'll start
and
to get into
it. I think they're dumb for it.
Yeah.
Just disagree, but this makes you stupid.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And that's why you can't do it around me, because I'm not an idiot. Yeah.
Damn.
You're making me dumb
yeah.
when you bring
I
your
think
dumb
that's
shit.
Actually decent advice for the caller.
Hell yeah,
yeah.
girl.
Those are rare, one of the you rare really times we actually help someone.
Fix somebody's shit.
That's fucking good. All right, let's do one more quick one.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and guest. So there is a chain of buffets, and in Southern California, they're called Soup Plantation.
Pew, pew, pew.
They're called something else everywhere else, but here they're Soup Plantation. Is that racist or is that just really whack? Thanks so much.
So do you guys know what it is called outside of Southern California?
No, what's it called outside of it?
Sweet Tomatoes.
What? That's fine. That's what? Use that. Do you know?
It's only Southern California that calls it soup motherfucking plantation.
When I moved to this fucking desert hellscape yes. in 2015 and I laid my eyes on that first soup plantation, I said to myself, oh, Hollywood must be playing a joke. This must be a set for a movie set on fucking Mars.
Yes.
What
truly.
Are you doing?
Like, because that makes yeah. more sense as like a punchline to like a Key and Peele sketch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, oh, we're at the soup plantation. Great.
I pulled in for the first time I came here. This is like 10 years ago. And I pull in and I'm so baffled by what I see that I Google the word plantation.
Just a double check.
Is there some other definition? Like,
pull over your car.
Yeah.
On La Sierra or whatever the fuck. And you're like, I have to know. I might have, this word might have been wrong my whole life.
So I'm like, are there other words? It must mean something else. It must.
Oh my God.
BTW does not.
I love the idea of actually, I'm going to do that right now. When you just Google the word plantation, what do you?
Yes.
Get.
It's not pleasant. Don't image.
No, I won't. I just want like a Webster's. Like,
yes.
What do they say a plantation?
Actually, it is a little. It is a little like bloodless. An estate on which crops such as coffee, sugar, and tobacco are cultivated by resident labor.
Resident labor. Someone who lives there. So I'm sorry. Who are the slaves growing the soup?
Yes.
Is all the soup grown on this plantation?
Okay.
And who are the residents?
The residents. Who lives at the soup plantation?
Resident labor is such a cutesy-ass euphemism for fucking slaves. Jesus Christ.
Because it also makes it sound like it's like a maintenance man who, it's like your super.
Yeah.
It's like a saying unpaid labor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They live on site.
Yes.
Also, a soup doesn't need a plantation. First of all, the premise is bad.
What does it have to do with anything?
Why did you leave the South where it's called sweet tomato and come here and be like, you know what we need?
We need to call it
We need to be more racist than the South somehow. It has a goddamn salad bar.
Yeah. People are fine with so much of that weirdness, though.
That's like, so
has never been normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
but it only seemed to upset people like a couple of years ago, and now they seem to be over it. I always thought, like, how could you do that? Like, how can you just have these
things? It's just a straight-up slur.
It's like
a straight-up slur.
Yeah, like, it's dirty.
Yeah, and there's plenty of people that are like, it's fine because I know my friend who's supposedly an indigenous person who says it's okay. And it's like, no, you've missed the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my argument for, because it's like whatever number of, like, native folks or whatever say it's fine. It's like, guess what? Whatever percentage, even if one person's humanity is threatened by your fucking football team's name, like, how many people does, like, the Bears dehumanize?
Right.
Zero with a possibility of zero more.
Yes.
Like, there's no chance.
Like, if it's a word that you have to asterisk or bleep in certain settings, I think in all settings you should, but in certain settings, mainstream people have got enough of an awareness that we don't say that.
Yeah.
Maybe it shouldn't be the name of a...
The 49ers.
Or just in general, like, can you imagine if the name of them was the Blackskins?
Yeah.
Here come the Whiteskins, y'all. Or the Yellowskins.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse
me? It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time, truly.
But it's just, like, insane.
Yeah.
It's, you know, let's maybe, like, take a tiny walk down this road of, like...
Down the road to the soup plantation?
I know.
Hitch up your wagon, folks.
Well, we have to make it fast because I got to be back. Somebody got to make this soup.
Well, I am the resident.
No, I'm just like, but at the same point, right, it's like just one of those things that's fucked up. It probably falls low on the pick your battles list of things to be upset about, which I think is a little bit the same as the, you know, football team and shit like that, where you're like,
but just you change.
Know, there's
it.
Just so much racism.
I just feel like those are the easy ones.
It's so easy.
Like, that's easy.
True.
Look, in our lifetime, do y'all remember the massive changeover from fruit flowers to edible arrangements?
There you go.
That company is still thriving.
Go.
I just saw one in a conference room the other day. I was like, these bitches are still around after
that's
changing their whole. The whole words were changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, you can keep soup.
Yeah.
We can still know what you're slanging. You just can't call it a plantation.
Call it soup factory.
Soup factory. Soup estate.
Yes.
Soup fields.
Okay. So not only are we telling you what the problem is, we've offered solutions.
Right. Yeah. We've given you pitched for free.
Well, or, I mean, the parent company already owns signs that say sweet tomatoes.
Truly.
Yes.
Why in
There's
your signs?
There's a whole world available to them.
Like, this is, oh boy. Well, that's as good a place as any day.
I cannot believe that's the name of it.
I can't believe it either. Have you ever eaten there?
At Soup Plantation? Yeah. Yes, I ate there that day.
When I pulled into it and looked up and Googled it.
Yes, and then I went out. I was like, "What is this place?" And it was just like a regular place.
Yeah,
the soup was delicious. By the way, those slaves. They really the shit up out of that soup back there.
I mean, the just the romanticization of plantation anything too, and just like y'all
get out of here.
This is revolting.
It
but
is.
That's the difference between America. It's at least like other countries when they commit atrocities, they feel bad about it.
Yeah,
they don't have weddings there.
Yes. Yeah, they're not like, oh, but it's such a beautiful setting.
There. Imagine if you had a wedding at the Holocaust Memorial.
Oh my God.
I know people who've gotten married on plantations. Not attended.
Yeah. I've been invited to those weddings. I'm like, really?
Do you respond to the invite with like a, I don't.
I have no response.
Yeah.
It's only happened twice, thank God.
Yeah.
And both of those times I was like, oh, this was a great time to know before I spent money on your gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not.
It really tells you who you are.
Oh, yeah. That is insane.
The flex move. If any of you ever get invited to a wedding on a plantation, just send them a gift card for Soup Plantation. Just do it. Just drive it home. Just be like, I thought you'd like this.
Yeah.
This feels like you.
This feels like you. Oh, Jesus, what a beautiful burn. Well, Tim, really, we have to go, but I wish that we didn't. I wish you could stay forever.
Me too.
No, you want to be home in your bed. You're very tired.
Okay. But then I want to come right back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Everyone get a nap.
Yeah.
We'll be back. We'll do 15, 16 more episodes.
Tell the people where they can watch you, see you, hear you, whatever.
You can watch NBC Perfect Harmony at 8:30 on Thursday night.
Ooh.
Also, though, I would like to plug, because this was important to me, I've been waiting for the third season of a show called Search Party that I shot.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And now it's going to be found on HBO Max.
Hell yeah.
Yes. So those of you who were like cursing out TBS.
People were going nuts.
I was like, why? Where is the rest of the show? I already know you made it. Where is it? Give it to me. Mm-hmm. I know you have it. That's why.
That's where it is.
I'm very excited. I love that show. So I'm excited to see you on there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, you guys. This was fun.
Peace.
Ooh, baby, we're back. We did it.
We're back.
Wasn't that fun?
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. Mm-hmm. Fun. Oh, boy.
What's wrong?
No, I don't know.
You just fell asleep a little bit?
Why am I tired?
You're not.
I'm not tired.
Don't perpetuate this rumor about yourself.
Boy. I was on Scam Goddess.
Oh my God. I don't know why we didn't talk about this in the beginning. It is so good. You and Lacey should have a podcast together. I'm firing myself. I don't care. You guys need to do something together.
I don't think Lacey wants your seat.
She doesn't want to do this job?
That was such a fun thing, but boy, was I sleepy.
You didn't sound like it. You were fired up.
I think I was very hungover. So I wasn't like sleepy. I was just like fucked up.
Well, it's a good episode. You guys should listen to it. They talk about Theranos, which even
was really fun.
And I've like devoured all the content about Elizabeth Holmes that has been marketed to me.
Yeah.
However, hearing it from you and Lacey was really funny. Like very eye opening in a weird way.
Yeah.
I love when Lacey just like kind of doesn't know something and she's just like, fuck it. Here's what it is. It's one of my favorite new podcasts. Scam Goddess here on Earwolf. It comes out on Mondays. We're the worst.
We don't know. Well, this was an audible. I just remembered that had happened.
It's really good.
Former producer Zig, former producer of that podcast.
Mm-hmm. He's been raptured up to the Marvel gods of the sky.
R.I.P. to Zig.
R.I.P.
A real one.
Yeah, gone too soon. That's all. We should go.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Timberly Hill. Thanks to new producer Alex.
Whoop, whoop.
Alex is here. Thank you to Engineer Jordan.
Thank you to Engineer Jordan. She's back.
Thank you to Tawny Newsom.
Oh, thank you to Andrew T.
What is it? What do we say? Social media. Yo, is this racist?
We say social media.
Social media. Yo, is this racist? Social media at Tawny Newman.
Social media at Andrew T. Social media.
Telephone.
323-389-7223. Internet website on your desktop computer, podswag.com/yo.
That's it.
For the merch. There's a Black Friday sale. It might not still be going. It's
who knows?
Later than that.
I don't know.
Okay.
I actually have a thing where I don't spend any money on Black Friday to, you know.
Yeah, Small Business Saturday, boo.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Good night.
Peace.